Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same. But yours, eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new cloak to patch an old one. Otherwise he will tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old cloak. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. No one who has been drinking old wine desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.'" The Gospel of the Lord. When you come only on Fridays, certain things happen over and over again. And I know that you know that I know that you know that we have this Gospel from St. Luke twice a year, on Friday after Ash Wednesday and then Friday of the 22nd week. So we ponder different things depending upon what the cycle is. But here, Jesus is talking about the newness of following him. It's not just, for example, fixing a bug in the program of the Old Testament. It's an entire new system. Still might have the Microsoft package and the computer, but what's behind it is supposed to be totally different. The Lord brings great newness. Precisely this newness that comes from relating to him. And today he describes three ways, or the readings describe three ways, that all things are to be made new by him. The first is joy. In response to this query of the scribes and the Pharisees about why his disciples weren't fasting the way John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees fasted, Jesus said is because there has to be a totally different way of fasting. First truth, he says, with regard to that is, can the wedding guests, the friends of the bridal chamber, the party, fast while the bridegroom is still with them, while the wedding is going on? It would be absurd if that would ever occur. And Jesus wants them to know that when the bridegroom is with them, the first and fundamental response is joy. Joy. The newness is supposed to be an extraordinary joy. When you think about the Pharisees, when you think about the scribes, do you ever see them with a smile? As they're washing their hands with eggshells up and down, as they're punctiliously worried about the various gnats of the law, these were people torturing themselves with little things so that they didn't even see the big picture. Big picture that God loves them, that God was with them, that he was helping them at every moment, that he had liberated them before, and he's constantly liberating. They missed the big picture because they were obsessed about the littlest things in such a way that it wasn't even contextualized with the big stuff. Jesus wants us first to focus on the big stuff. And even if everything else is going wrong, God is with us. How can that not make us happy? The bridegroom is with us. And the fundamental response of a Christian, this newness that Jesus wants to give us, is joy. Even the way we fast is different. The Pharisees fasted, John the Baptist fasted, first out of reparation. Reparation for their sins, reparation for the sins of others. They also fasted out of a sense of self-mastery, or desire for self-mastery, so that they wouldn't be dominated by their appetites. If they could say no to their appetite for food, then they could say yes to God. And the development of those moral muscles, the virtues, would be able to help them in every other area of life. Jesus says there's a different purpose for fasting. That purpose is longing for the bridegroom. He describes that there'd be a time when the bridegroom would be violently ripped away from them, just like happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they would fast in that day. Not again fast merely for reparation or supplication or self-mastery, but fast out of a longing for the joy that would come with the bridegroom's return. So the first and fundamental thing that's supposed to pervade everything we do is a recognition of the bridegroom. Be filled with joy at his presence, and then fast for that presence to grow. Fast for those areas in our life in which the bridegroom is not yet loving us as the bridegroom. We're not receiving the love of the bridegroom in those areas. Second, great application today, St. Paul says, is with regard to how we relate to Jesus. He said, thus should one regard us. And he wasn't just talking about him. Wasn't just talking about priests, even though this is a passage often used for priests. This is meant to be applied to every Christian in our baptismal priesthood. As servants of Christ, that term in Greek is a unique one. Normally when we have the term servant, it's diakonos, or where we get deacon, or doulos, from which we get slave. Neither of those is used by St. Paul here. He uses huperetes. What's an huperetes? He's a rudder man in a boat. In the ships of the ancient world, the captain would set the direction, but then the huperetes would be back there at the rudder, and he would be, in a sense, guiding, if there, it would be rowing, how the rowing is working. Kind of like a coxswain today in crew. He's not setting the direction. The captain's setting the direction. But he's implementing the direction that the captain is setting. We're supposed to regard ourselves and have others regard us in this way. Not people who are establishing where we're going, but people who are helping to direct the whole bark to where Christ the captain is directed. Again, everything directed totally to the Lord. Sometimes we want to be in charge, we want to be in control, we want to set the path. No, the path is given. St. Paul wanted to be seen as not somebody who was coming to invent anything, but he's trying to get the boat steered in the direction that the captain has indicated. And where is that? That's to the eternal shore, to the port of the celestial Jerusalem. Second description, he says, stewards of the mysteries of God. The term steward here is economos. Who's the business manager here at Sacred Heart Convent? She's absent. Figures. Okay. The economos, the steward, was given the permission at this time of running everything. The owner was off. And St. Paul says the one criterion that's necessary to be a steward is that the steward be trustworthy, that he's not going to be stealing, that he's not going to be failing to do what he's supposed to do. But he's going to be managing everything. There is so much trust placed in the economos, but the economos has to live up to that trust. St. Paul is saying that part of this newness is that the Lord is trusting us to be his economoi, to manage his house. In another parable, he'll describe the faithful and trustworthy steward who always gives all the members of the household their food in their proper time, versus the unfaithful, untrustworthy steward who says, my master is long delayed, starts to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and do all the rest, not out of joy that the bridegroom is present, but precisely out of joy that the bridegroom is not present, because the person doesn't want, the unfaithful and untrustworthy steward, doesn't want the bridegroom present, doesn't want the master there. There's a newness for us. It's a newness that comes from the trust the Lord says that if we're not at the rudder, guiding toward the direction Christ has given, lots of others may end up shipwrecked, drowning. Likewise, if we're not a trustworthy steward of God's great mysteries, the mysteries pervading the world, the mysteries of the sacrament, mysteries of the dignity of every person with the vocation that God has planted, if we're not trustworthy stewards, but we begin to take advantage of others or just use them for our own purposes, then God, as St. Paul says later, will in fact judge us. And Jesus in the parable says, judge us harshly. We're now living through some difficult times in the church in the States, and one of the reasons, across the world, frankly, but one of the reasons is because we haven't recognized that the bridegroom is present. We haven't longed for him more than any other longing, for those areas in which he's absent. Many of the times, those who are at the rudder aren't helping people to stay on the path to the eternal shore, but in fact giving them totally different directions, even praising sinful activity, rather than helping them to recognize that that is leading totally opposite of the celestial shore. And they do beat and abuse the men servants and the maid servants. Today, Christ is calling us back. He who comes to make all things new doesn't just want a minor course correction in our existence. He wants to renew us in all of these ways. He today wishes to give each of us a new wineskin as he pours himself out, his body and blood, as that new and most precious wine. May we receive this gift with the joy with which it should always be received. Long for it even more in all the years of our life in which the Lord is not yet truly king, so that, strengthened by this newness, we might hold that rudder firmly and be found good and faithful stewards of all the mysteries the Lord has entrusted to us.